Call item 1186.
Revised First Amendment to the Intergovernmental Agreement for Cost Sharing of Levy Ready Columbia Expenses Not Covered by IFA Loans to Extend Program, Provide Additional Funding, Broaden Allowable Expenses, and Amend Parties to Agreement.
Ken, before you jump in on this, I notice we have a class here. Where are you all from? Lincoln High School. And which class?
It's called Urban Exploration.
Urban Exploration. Welcome to Portland City Hall. We're glad to have you here. Thanks.
Do we have any Constitution team members here?
Yeah, over here.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, you bet. Great. Thanks all for being here. Mr. Rust, thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and members of the Council. For the record, I'm Ken Rust, the city's chief financial officer. The ordinance in front of you today might look very familiar because on May 31st of this year, you adopted a very similar ordinance, which included the state as one of the parties to the amended IGA for additional support of the Columbia River Levy Project. Subsequent to the passage of that initial amended ordinance, the state determined that they were not going to be able to provide funds through this particular mechanism in this intergovernmental agreement, so they no longer can be a party to the IGA. This particular ordinance today amends that original revised IGA, strikes the state as a party, and continues with the rest of the funding plan that had already been approved by the different parties to the IGA, including the city. The amount that the city is responsible for was approved as part of the adopted fiscal year 18 budget. Subsequent also to the filing of this document, the state's been working on mechanism for them to provide the funding, and they will be making a grant through Business Oregon to the project in the amount that they were originally scheduled to pay for. We are the administrators of an agreement with Business Oregon as part of this project, so we will be bringing another ordinance to you to be able to accept those grant funds and distribute it according to the plan. That will be a subsequent ordinance that we'll be filing over the course of the next few weeks. So basically, this does nothing other than remove the state from the original revised IGA. Everything else remains the same.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz.
And if they do change their way of doing things, they can come back in again later to give what they thought they were going to be able to give?
Commissioner, I think for this particular purpose, it's the relatively small overall change to the total budget. The state share is $267,000. They're going to approach that through a grant through Business Oregon. So I don't see any particular change for this particular piece of the program. Whether that's the end of funding and other arrangements for the Levy Ready Columbia project remains to be seen, but that would be done differently and may come through in a different funding mechanism if the state's a partner.
But if they're going to give their share to a different organization, why would it not then reduce our costs?
The plan was that if the state didn't fund in the amount that they were originally scheduled to fund, that the budget for the project overall would be reduced so that none of the partners picked up a larger share. It would remain the same. The scope of work would be reduced. And so now what we've done with the state being able to fund it through Business Oregon is the original scope will be executed, and there's no change to any of the underlying partners.
Thank you.
I have two questions, Ken. It's for the benefit of our students. What exactly does the chief financial officer do for the city of Portland? And what's unique about your reporting requirements?
Commissioner Fish, that's a very good question. When people ask me what I do, I basically say I solve problems. I solve financial problems for the city. And luckily for me, there's lots of those to solve. Never seems to
be a
shortage.
Well, strike that from the record, please. We don't need that cluttering up the record, and we have some. Thank you.
But on a more serious note, I work with the bureaus. I work with you as the council to develop policies and financial plans that underpin basically what the city does with an eye towards long-term fiscal health and sustainability for the city.
And as we learned when your position was in some doubt a couple years ago, it's not unusual in the public and private sectors to have a chief financial officer who oversees the financial health of an organization. In this case, we're a city that has about a $3.8 billion consolidated budget, so it's a big responsibility, and you are ultimately the person we've entrusted to be overseer of that whole financial system. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I report both to the city's chief administrative officer, and I report directly to you as the city council. And
so what's unique about that? Because that's a dual report where you have a nominal supervisor, but you're also, by rule, charged with reporting to the council. So what's the intent?
I think the intent was to make sure that my voice as the city's chief financial officer could be heard directly to the council, and that my opinion on financial matters would not be necessarily worked through another more indirect reporting relationship, so that you could have direct access to me, I could have direct access to you, and to advise you as to impacts of certain kinds of financial undertakings that the city may be considering, so that you could make an informed decision.
And let's speak, just to give a hypothetical, there could be an instance where you, the chief financial officer, have a principal disagreement with the chief administrative officer, who's nominally your boss, and under the reporting requirement that the city established, you would be required, in effect, to bring your concerns directly to the council, so the council had the benefit of your perspective and the CAO's perspective.
That's correct. And I can say that over my career at the city, I've never had that situation arise with the relationship between myself and the chief administrative officer. But I think the structure that the position has now helps prevent that and provides a safeguard against that.
You also announced your retirement.
Yes, I have.
And so we're going to have an appropriate opportunity in December to embarrass you here?
That's always up to you. But we will be presenting the city's comprehensive annual financial report or audit to you on December 13th. Actually, today we are proud to announce that we are publishing our CAFR today, 120 days post July 1, my CAFR 120 initiative is successful. My job now is complete at the city, but that's the earliest in modern history that we can ever determine that the city's published its CAFR. Puts us at the cutting edge of governance across the United States.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public testimony on this item? Come on up.
My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Again, I want to have a clear understanding who owns the levee. Now, an issue I have on this is that the state is deciding not to pay their fair share of $267,000. Now, what was stated here is that they might have some option to come back and do it. Well, by this ordinance, it says the state does not want to pay the money. And the state's response to that, which I'll point at Governor Brown on this, due to a new process for allocating anticipated state resources, and the Levy Ready Columbia partners have elected to remove the state. A new process of allocating money isn't that special. Nice line there. Pay up. Quit walking away from it. My position on this levy is plain and simple. We need to rebuild the levee. This needs to be one of the largest construction projects in the state of Oregon. We need to use infrastructure dollars to begin analyzing this and understanding. Due to climate change, due to flooding, due to looking around the world currently, we all know that, the amount of money that's being spent currently in all different areas. If we lose this levee, what do we lose? We lose the Portland International Airport. You think it's bad in Puerto Rico right now? Imagine this city with this airport, with water running through this airport. Imagine that happening. It can happen. We've had floods that have gotten very close to going over the levee, going over that direction, and guess what happens if it ever happens? It will shut this city down as bad as Puerto Rico. We need to be looking at rebuilding this levee and understanding what we have out there is an outdated sandbox for little kids to play with the governor in the sandbox. The Governor Brown needs to start thinking realistically and understanding. Rebuild the levee, protect the airport at any and all costs, and understand, mark my words, if it ever goes over that levee, and I've been standing on that levee when it has gotten to the peak, what's called the crown of the levee, and trust me, if it ever goes over that levee, we won't have an airport again. You have a sandbox out there. Shouldn't it be recertified? Shouldn't it be up to the specifications of the New Orleans levee? And let me tell you something, if you don't rebuild it, you're going to lose the airport, And I'm going to point at you, Governor Brown. I'm going to point at you for not negotiating infrastructure dollars in rebuilding this levee, which you know is a sandbox at this time. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you.